Let's go to the 100th Psalm this morning, Psalms 100.
It's five verses. Let's read them together. Ready? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. We're going to preach on this subject this morning, developing a gratitude attitude. Developing a gratitude attitude. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful today, Lord, for your presence, and for your goodness. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to spend a little time, Lord, as a people, rejoicing in our heart over the goodness of Almighty God. And Lord, I pray that once we leave here, that rejoicing will just continue through Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and, of course, into the Thanksgiving holidays. And Lord, that beyond that, it would extend, Lord, something that we wouldn't turn off after Thanksgiving Day, but that it would intensify all through the closing out of this month, through the month of December, as we celebrate the birth of your Son, into 2007. Lord, may we be a grateful people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Have you noticed that in this generation, it seems that a bad attitude is glorified? You gals that go shopping, you probably see them hanging in the stores, shirts for sale that our teenagers are to buy and wear and consider themselves cool. I seen a young person the other day that had one that said, whatever. If you're a Christian young person, would you do me a favor? Throw that little phrase out of your vocabulary. Shame on you if you use that. Whatever. You know what? That reeks of a bad attitude. I actually saw a young person with a t-shirt that said, I like my bad attitude. Shame on him. Shame on her. Young people openly complain and pout when the slightest things don't go their way. Let me say this, shame on you. I ought to put you in a plane and ship you to a third world country and let you live there for about a week. And let me tell you something, you'd come back, you'd get off that plane and you'd kiss the ground. And you'd go home and you'd hug your mama and hug your daddy. Shame on you for such a wicked attitude. Some of you are already thinking, why did I come today? Hang in there, it's going to get better. Amen. I mean that. Shame on you. You know, your attitude is your choice. It is. It has nothing to do with circumstances. You choose the type of attitude that you're going to have in this world. You see, don't miss what I'm about to say. As a Christian young person or as a Christian adult, because as much as we'd like to pick on the kids, sometimes our attitude is worse than the kid's attitude. As a Christian young person or as a Christian adult, it's a horrible sin to walk around with a poor attitude. Amen. I'm glad we have Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving helps us hit some reset buttons, doesn't it? And so I'm going to talk to you this morning about counting your blessings and then what to do once you're done counting. Could we take this psalm and just count our blessings? Could I say this? You say, Brother Jerry, why is it such a horrible sin to have such a poor attitude? Because God has done so much for us. And do you know how many blessings you have to walk right over the top of before you can find something to whine and bicker and complain about? Do you know how much of God's goodness you have to ignore in order to focus in on the one or two things in your life that maybe aren't as good as you wish they were? And God has been good to us all. And God has especially been good to us that are saved. And if you'll notice, can I just count six blessings out of this psalm, just an introduction. Say, what's God done for me? Number one, He created you. It is He that hath made us, verse number three said. It is He that hath made us. God created you. Young person, don't ever forget this. You're not the product of evolution. You're the result of a creator. You say, well, Brother Jerry, atheists, they have an opinion about God. Yeah, and God has an opinion about them. God's opinion about the atheist is that He says that they're a fool. The fool has said in their heart that there is no God. And so it's gotten to be almost cool in this generation, from what I'm reading, what I hear, for young people to proclaim that they're an atheist. Well, when you proclaim that you're an atheist, you're proclaiming your own foolishness. The Bible says it is He that hath made us. I love this story. Back in the day, when SMU was somewhat still a Christian university, there was an atheist that came into the campus, and I guess in the middle of the campus they have an area where you can stand and exercise your free speech. So an atheist stood there and began to blaspheme God until he attracted somewhat of a crowd of impressionable young minds. And he finally jumped up on a bench and shook his fist at God and said, God, if you're real, I dare you right now, smite me to the ground. I dare you, smite me to the ground if you're real. Shaking his fist at God. Well, what he didn't know was, as a young man was leaving one class and going to another, he passed by the circle and heard this man's daring God to smite him to the ground. This is a good Christian young boy that was raised to love God and respect God. He also happened to be a linebacker on the football team. So he positioned himself where he had a straight line between point A and point B, got down in the three-point stands, and got about a 20-yard run and hit that guy in the breadbasket, knocked him off that bench, knocked the air out of him, stood over the top of him while he was gasping for breath. He leaned down his face and said, God was busy. He sent me to do it for him. You know what? All the fools in all the world can stand there and shake their fist at God. It doesn't change God's existence one bit. And alter God's existence. So, you know what? Let's count our blessings. Number one, God's created us. Number two, God has saved us. We are His people. We are His people. So God's created me. Not only that, God saved me. This is something that we ought to relive during the week of Thanksgiving. Go back and revisit the day that you were saved. I mean, I will wander back many times this week, and I do this many times on a normal week to a little white clapboard church out in the middle of nowhere where I first heard the gospel explained and first understood it and knew what it was to be convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, and went forward and knelt down and understood the gospel and prayed and asked Christ to save me. You know what? Thank God He saved me. If you don't have that memory, you can create that memory this morning. You can be saved today. Number three, God cared for you. God has cared for you. The Bible goes on to say in verse 3 that we're the sheep of His pasture. We're the sheep of His pasture. You know what that means? That means God cares for us. We preached last week on this. You know what? Thank God that we have a shepherd. One of the advantages of having a shepherd is that the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not lack. God takes care of His sheep. So God's created me and He saved me and He cares for me. Not only that, verse 5 says, God's been good to you. For the Lord is good. He's been good to you. Oh, no, He hasn't. Now, don't try to convince me of that. You're wasting your time. No, Brother Jerry, if you only knew my story. If I knew your story, let me tell you what it would be. A story of grace. Your story is a story of grace. My story is a story of grace. God has been gracious to us. God has been good to us. Oh, He hadn't been good to me. Let me ask you something. Are you burning in the devil's hell right now? That's what each and every one of us deserves. So I think anything this side of that means God's been pretty good to us. You see, I don't think many people in this room has missed a meal this week unless you chose to miss it. We drive cars better than we ought to drive and dress better than we ought to dress. We're blessed with freedoms that the rest of the world only dream about having. So let me tell you, God is good. God is good. He's been good to you. Yes, He has. Number five, God has given us mercy. His mercy is everlasting. Yes, he has. My goodness sakes. Thank God for his mercy. You know, mercy is you not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not you not getting what you do deserve. Thank God for his mercy. Number five, God has extended to us his truth. He's given us the Bible. His truth endureth to all generations. So we just counted six reasons why we ought to praise God. Six reasons why we ought to be thankful. God has created you. God has saved you. God has cared for you. God has been good to you. God has extended his mercy to you. And God has extended his truth to you. In the Holy Scriptures, we can go to the Bible and know what is right and know what is true. Now, folks, listen to me. Because of these wonderful things that God has done for us, he deserves to see and hear the right kind of attitude from us. Now, you parents, every parent in here loves their children. Every parent in here, whether you young people realize it or not, and some of you are in an age where you need to start looking at this and absorbing this. Are you young men listening to me? You need to start looking at mom and dad differently. Your mom and your daddy work hard to provide for you. Your mom and dad love you. And your mom and dad, because of that, deserves to see and hear in you the right kind of attitude. There's not a parent in here that all that they sacrifice and all that they give and all that they do for their children would like to be able to hear from their children some positive things. Nothing is more discouraging in all the world to a parent than to sacrifice and to give and to work hard and to provide to the best of your ability and then have a whiny, gripey, murmuring child. Well, let me say this in defense of Almighty God. His ear is tuned to everything that we say and do. And he has been good to us. He created us. He saved us. He's cared for us. He's been good to us. He's given us his mercy and he's given us his truth. And he ought to hear some praise. He ought to hear some thanksgiving. He ought to hear some positive things from his children. See, God deserves some things. And after you get done counting your blessing, then what we ought to do is adjust our attitude. And Psalms 100, I think, is, I've called it before, the attitude adjuster psalm. It helps us to adjust our attitude properly. Let me just give you some points, and we'll have some fun as we teach through the 100th psalm. Look at verse number 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. God deserves to hear joyful sounds from his children. God deserves to hear joyful sounds from his children. You know what? I think God likes to hear his children laugh. It says make joyful noise. We always assume that's singing, and for some of us, it is. But you know, it doesn't just say singing there. It says joyful noise. I think God likes to hear joyful noises from his children. One of the things I think God likes to hear is his children laugh. I like it when the girls are laughing. I like it because it means there's happiness in the home. You know, can I say this? You ought to learn to laugh. You really ought to. You know, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know, you'd feel better if you learned to laugh. Some of you take life so serious. Let me just share this with you. You're not going to get out of it alive. You take everything way too seriously. Now, I know that there's a time for seriousness, but you know what? You ought to learn to smile. You ought to learn to find the lighter side in life. You ought to learn to laugh, you see, because it's good for your heart. It is. It's good for your heart. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, you know. I read this story this week, and I loved it. You know how it's funny. You don't really realize this till you become a preacher, but it's amazing how much different people act in front of a preacher than they would if the preacher's not there. And there's a story I read that there was a lady that was raising her child by herself, and this man went to visit the home, and he was in the living room talking to this woman. Him and his wife was in the living room together talking to this lady, and this little 9-year-old boy came in, and he come walking in the door, and the preacher and his wife sitting over here, and he didn't spot him at first. And he's carrying a dead frog, big old frog, and it's dead. He said, "Hey, mama, looky here. Don't worry, Mama, it's dead. I caught it, then I kicked it, then I stomped it, then I threw it against the wall." Then he looked over and saw the preacher, and he said, "Then the good Lord took him home."
Amen. You know, folks, what you just did, I think God liked it. I think He likes to hear us laugh. You know, I think when God listens to the noise we make, He likes to hear positive statements. You know, folks, you can say positive things or negative things, and you have to make the choice. But what this psalm is encouraging us to do is to make an attitude adjustment. You know, everything can be viewed in a negative light or a positive light. You know, there's pros and cons in every situation. If you're not careful, maybe you've been raised and reared in a home where there was a lot of negativism, and it's just easy to always see the bad side of everything. Can I stand in defense of life and tell you that there's also a good side to everything? There really is. Negative comments, critical statements, I think damage the work of Christ. It oftentimes spreads discord among the brethren. Listen, if you'd learn to see the good in people and as quickly as you can spot the bad in people, you'd be a happier person, and I think God would be happier with you. You can see the bad in every situation, or you can see the good in every situation. I'm not talking about developing some Pollyannish attitude where you never deal with negative things or don't have to understand and recognize their existence. But folks, that's not all of life. That's not all of life. Seen people come to church and have 50 good things happen and one bad thing happen, and the whole week they'll talk about that one bad thing. You know what? The problem's not the church. The problem's your outlook on life. Young person can come to the school, and you know what? All week long, everything will go great, and 100 good things will happen. Maybe at the school, maybe 10 good things will happen. 100 good things will happen during the week, and one bad thing will happen, and that's what they'll go home and gripe to their parents about. You know what? The problem's not the school, the problem's your attitude. And Brother Jerry, my life's a mess. No, it's not really. What you're looking at is one area that you've taken that's a molehill and you've turned it into a mountain, and you need to take a step backwards and look around and count your blessings. And you know what? Start talking about the positive things, and you know what? Pretty soon you'll forget about the negative things. I think God likes to hear joyful noises, joyful sounds. I think God likes to hear when we encourage other people. You know, one of the great ministries that every single person in this room could be involved with, not only here at the church, but as we scatter into the community, is this. Do you know that you can have a ministry of encouragement? Listen to me. You can have a ministry of encouragement. Well, Brother Jerry, I don't have a ministry to be involved with. Well, I'm just giving you one. It's called the ministry of encouragement. You know what you can do in the workplace? You can be an encouragement. You know what you can do at the home, young people? You can be an encouragement. You know what you can do at the school? You can be an encouragement. You can go around and you can strengthen people and lift up people and say positive things and help them and watch that person that maybe they're bent over a little bit. Maybe they've got a little tear in the corner of their eye. Maybe they just need somebody to go encourage them a little bit. I think God loves it when He hears us encourage each other. I know, based on Psalms 145 through 150, that God loves to hear praise. Complaining is the opposite of praising. Complaining, when you complain, you're saying, God has not been good to me. God has not been fair to me. But when you praise, you say, God's been good to me and God's been more than fair with me. Complaining, I think, angers the Lord. And I think we could prove that from Scripture. I don't think it should ever be heard from one of His children. Are you young people listening? We've got a generation being raised that has forgot what it is to be thankful. And God loves to hear positive, joyful noises from His children. He deserves it. You say, Brother Jerry, He deserves it. Yeah, remember, He created you. He saved you. He's cared for you. He's been good to you. He's given you mercy. He's extended His truth to you. And just like a parent likes to hear positive things and good things and joyful things from their children, God ought to hear that from His children. So let's give Him that this week, shall we? Let me give you this. Not only does God deserve to hear joyful sounds, but God deserves to see His children serving with gladness. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. All right, nursery workers, look up here. You've got a choice when it's your time, your service to be in the nursery. You can go to your husband and say, I won't be in the service tonight because I've got to be in the nursery. I've got to be in the nursery. I've got to be in the nursery. Or you can look and see your name on the list, say, praise the Lord. I've got a great opportunity to be able to go back there and watch some other people's children, which will free them up to sit in the service and be able to enjoy the service. And you know what? Maybe by me watching one of these children, that will prevent them from being in service and cause a distraction and someone who is lost not hear the gospel. I mean, folks, listen to me. You can look at everything as a drudgery or a ministry. You see, are you listening to me? You see, it's all how you view life. You have an opportunity to serve the Lord. If God's given you that opportunity, do it with gladness. Let me say this. We need several ladies in our church. We need several of you to sign up to be nursery workers. Are you listening to me? We need you to sign up to be nursery. I'm talking about members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We need you to sign up to be nursery workers. We need nursery workers. I know you've got your reason, but throw that out the window and go back and be a blessing and serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. Amen. See, it's all what you decide to do. You know, it's all how you view life. When I was pastoring in Brazil, I've watched people as I was back shaking hands. No, sometimes my tongue doesn't get... Yeah, anyway. Shaking hands at the back door. I've watched people walk up to a bulletin board and say, "Oh, hey, it's our week to clean the church. Let's not forget that," with a smile on their face. And I've watched people walk up and say, and then to make sure I heard them, I don't know, I'm just foolish enough to still believe that it's a privilege to clean God's house. I mean, I know, call me crazy. It's a privilege to clean God's house. Remember my mom and dad when they got saved at Little Rock Run Baptist Church, and they didn't know any better, and they were excited about the Lord, and they got to the point where every time the preacher would ask for somebody to do something, mom and dad look around, they'd lift their hand. Mom and dad look around, lift their hand, and literally on the ride home, they'd say, "The preacher's going to let us. I can't believe he's going to let us." And there were older Christians, shame on them, that finally came to my mom and dad one day, an older Christian that ought to have known better, and said, "You volunteer for everything. One of these days, you'll learn." Well, you know what? He's gone a long time. He's pretty excited still about serving the Lord. I mean, listen to me. Well, you'll learn what? How to have a stinking attitude? I hope not. If you've got one, I try to avoid you. I don't want to catch it. God deserves to see some things from His children. Good night! He's created us and He's saved us and He's cared for us. He's been good to us and He extends His mercy and He gives me His book and He's prepared a place called heaven and He's done all these wonderful things. And you know what He ought to hear? Some positive things, some joyful sounds, and He ought to see us serving the Lord with gladness. Look at the rest of verse number 2. It says this: God, I think, teaches us this. God deserves to hear His children sing His praises. Come before His presence with singing. Come before His presence with singing. You know what? It's a very natural, normal thing for a born-again Christian to want to sing. I'm talking about even those of us that probably ought to do it strictly in the shower. Amen? It's a normal thing for God. Listen, I love Psalm chapter 40. I've been teaching through it in the radio broadcast this past week, the taping of the radio broadcast. I live two different time frames. I live in reality and I live in radio broadcast. And so I'm so confused most of the time. I feel like it's December and it's not, because I'm taping into December. And I try to do the broadcast as if I'm talking that it's that day, so it sounds like it's live. I'm trying to fool people, basically. And the problem is, I talk myself into believing that it's that day. So anyway, pray for me. It's not like I wasn't confused before I started the radio broadcast. Psalms 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And notice the next thing that happens: He hath put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. There's something that happens when someone gets saved. There's a song, a new song that goes into their heart. Let me say this to our congregation, and I think that you do a good job most of the time, but during the congregational singing, let me ask you this. Let me ask you a very fair question. What does God hear from you? What does God hear from you? The Bible says that we're to serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. Does it come from your heart? You say, "Well, Jerry, I sing," but does it come from your heart? Are you truly worshiping God as you say the words, or are you just going through vain repetition? Just, here's another memorized song, and I've been a Baptist for so long, I don't even have to turning the pages. I know all the words, but do you really know the words? Do you know the message behind the words? We have to learn to sing. You know, Ephesians chapter 5 teaches us that heartfelt singing is an outward sign that you're filled with the Spirit of God. You know, right after the command to be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the next verse tells us immediately that we'd be singing the hymns and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody to our heart to the Lord. You know, it's amazing. The more you let God control your life, the more it's natural and normal for you to want to sing praises to God. Amen. I like the singing at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Sister Pam, good special this morning. But I mean, every service, God blesses us. We've been given and blessed with talent here. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. If it just becomes a performance and it fails to be praised, then we need to hit a reset button. You see, God wants to hear us sing. God wants us to come before His presence with singing. Colossians 3:16, we're not turning to all these. Heartfelt singing is an outward sign that you're filled with the Word of God. You get a heart full of the Bible and a heart full of the Holy Spirit of God, and you know what? You'll be singing. And you won't be singing the old honky-tonk songs. Okay, you won't be singing the rock and roll. You know what you'll be singing? The psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody to your heart, the Lord. That's what God does for you, you see. Let me give you this last one. Not only does God deserve to hear joyful sounds, and He deserves to see His children serve with gladness, and He deserves to hear His children sing His praises, but God deserves to see a spirit of gratitude from His children. God deserves to see us and hear us say often, thank you, Lord. You know, it's important to have a thankful heart. It's important to have a thankful heart. Young people, listen to me. It is vitally important that you develop in your life a spirit of thankfulness. You're going to go home, many of you, to a good meal that Mama's going to provide. Mama worked hard. I'm sorry, Mama worked hard to prepare. The Lord provided, but Mom worked hard to prepare. You know what? You ought not to sit down and eat a meal ever, 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 ever without thanking the Lord and thanking the person that prepared it. Are you listening to me? I mean, today, what you do is after you get done eating or as it's presented to you, you look over to whoever fixed it and you say, thank you very much. Thank you for making this. This is great. Thank you. Thank you. What happened to that phrase? Thank you. You see. You know, let me tell you the sign of a good, healthy marriage. It's a marriage where there's gratitude that flows from each partner to each other. You know, I had to grab my wife the other day and you know, miraculous things happen several times a week. I open a drawer and fresh, clean, folded clothes grow there. Just appear. It's a miraculous thing. Just appear. And you know what? They've been doing that for 20, going on 23 years now. And it's a shame for me every once in a while not to just open that drawer and see everything clean and pressed and ready to go. And I've always said this. I don't, you know, God put women in charge of certain things because us guys just don't get it. I mean, folding clothes don't make sense to me. I know I'm trying to say this right, but let me just say this. Folding underwear doesn't make any sense to me now. Nobody's going to see it. If it's wrinkled, if it's not wrinkled, it's just, I mean, if a guy was in charge of the laundry, we'd, you know, wash them and. And then I don't understand the whole separating stuff, you know. I never have gotten that. You say, well, it's simple. No, it's not. I've tried to figure this thing out. They say, well, that's whites, but you look in the whites and there's some things that aren't white. Well, then how do you know? It's not fair. How do you know? You've got all the different piles and they have to be washed at the different temperatures. I mean, I have no idea. So if you want a new appreciation for your wife, just let her take a trip for about 4 or 5 days, and when she comes back, you'll say thank you a lot, amen? Now, shame on us. Shame on us for not being thankful horizontally, but really, really shame on us for not being thankful vertically, because all good things come from God. There's two words, let me say this, there's two words that you should say many times a day, thank you. There are two words you should pray many times a day. Thank you. If you don't get anything else out of the message but what I just gave you, you have gotten a bunch. There are two things you should say many times a day, thank you. And there are two words you should pray many times a day, thank you. Young people, work very hard this week at being thankful, but as I said in my prayer, don't let it stop on Thursday. Be thankful. Listen, you can go back to school next Monday and you can be a brat to your teacher, or you can realize that that teacher works hard to try to give you an education, and you can surprise the dickens out of her by walking up after class on the way out the door and saying to her or him, "By the way, I just wanted to thank you for showing up every day and working so hard to teach us." Amen. Amen. Then once she gets up off the floor, kind of help her up a little bit. I guarantee you, you do that, and a week or so later, you try to give her a gospel tract, she'll probably take it. You know? Listen, don't be mean to waitresses. Only people in my world that I've seen in my life ever been mean to a waitress, never been a waitress. Well, I'll tell you what, she didn't keep my glass filled up, so we're not tipping her. Shame on you. You ever tried it? You know, a simple thank you goes a long way. Don't leave a gospel tract without a tip. If you are, get some from Bethel or Calvary. Some other church, get their tracts. But don't leave a Blessed Hope tract without a tip. "Well, I've given them the greatest treasure they could ever receive." You cheapskate. You're a pharisaical cheapskate on top of it. What are you doing? You know, a waitress's motto is, "Nothing says thank you like cash." "Well, she didn't do a very good job." Well, maybe she's having a tough day. Maybe there's things in her life going on you don't know about. And maybe a gospel tract with a generous tip might just be the thing she needs to lead her towards the direction she ought to be heading. Are you listening to me? Listen, we're going on and on about this. Guys, instead of going to work this week and giving the boss a hard time, why don't you go in and say thank you? Are you thankful for your job? You say, "Yeah, but I know there's always buts in life." But you know what? The person who has a gratitude attitude shines like a shining star in the darkness. They said this about the elder George Bush. Not the one that's in, not George W., but George H. Is it H.? I read an interesting article the week after he was elected president. They said that the senior George Bush became president because of thank you notes. This man spent his life in public service, served in Congress all those years, and they said he built a network of supporters for no other reason than this. If you did the smallest, slightest favor to him or were of any help to him, you would get a thank you note. And they said that probably more than any other reason, he was in the White House because he learned to say thank you. By the way, you might be surprised where thank you takes you. Where thank you takes you. Well, let's have a good time this week, but let's do this too. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why, Brother Jerry? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you bless us, continue to bless us and help us, Lord, to have a thankful heart. We're entering into a week, Lord, that we've set aside now for many years here in this country, a week of thanksgiving. I'm afraid it has turned into many other things, Lord, in the world. But for us as Christians, I pray that we would celebrate it with a purity, a remembrance of what it's all about. And Lord, it's impossible for someone to have a thankful heart, truly have a thankful heart towards you, if they've never received you as Savior. If there'd be someone here that has any doubt as to their salvation, Lord, why not today, Lord? Why not speak to their heart, Lord, and I would love to see them make a decision. There may be a young man, a young lady here, and if they have heard the preaching, Lord, they've been in and out of here, and they've heard sermons on heaven, sermons on hell, sermons on eternity, sermons on the surety of death, and maybe they don't know what would happen if they were to die, but Lord, I pray that they'd find out today. Lord, for those of us that are saved, I pray, Lord, that you'd remind us, not just this week, but on, Lord, into the future, to always be thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.